Hello again, it's Patrick Kelly with the KWCA podcast. In today's edition, we turn our focus to the 2020 KWCA 3218 Coach of the Year, Billy Johnson of Norton. The renowned Mount Rushmore sculpture in the Black Hills of South Dakota is comprised of busts of Washington, Jefferson, Roosevelt, and Lincoln. Whether in the field of business, music, or athletics, the tagline of "Who's on the Mount Rushmore near area of interest?" is used to separate the elite from the rest of the field. In the Kansas wrestling coaching circle, the decision is not without argument, but leaving off Wayne Jackson, Dwayne Miller, and Rocky Walton would make the list less than legitimate for most of those in the know. Jackson owns 13 state titles, including a string of 11 in a row at Arc City. Miller from Cape and Mount Carmel won 8 state titles in his relatively short career, and also captured the only 2 grand state titles that were contested in the state of Kansas. Walton duplicated, then exceeded his 3 titles at Goodland before capturing 6 at Garden City. The 4th bust on the Mount Rushmore of Kansas wrestling coaches? That spot may be reserved for an active coach to accompany the aforementioned legends. This year, Norton Community High School, under the direction of Billy Johnson, captured its 11th state championship to bring the school's total to 17. Among his many awards is the National Federation of High Schools National Coach of the Year. Prior to his coaching career, Johnson was a 3-time state medalist, including 2 runner-up finishes for Flint Hills High School in Roselia. He went on to Fort Hays State University, where he became a 4-time NAIA All-American. Included in that body of work were 2 runner-up performances and a national title in 1987. With us on the line is 2020 3218 Coach of the Year, Billy Johnson of Norton. Coach, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks for having me, Patrick.
All right, as you prepare for your 30th season as head coach at Norton, give us a brief history of your journey from your introduction to the sport as a youth to the present.
Well, I started in wrestling at the age of 5 years old in Douglas, Kansas, and a bunch of the alleys from Douglas, among others, kind of I idolized and started me in wrestling. And at the about 5th grade, we moved away from Douglas and went to near El Dorado to a little bitty town called Roselia. And I graduated from Flint Hills High School in Roselia, Kansas. And believe it or not, they did not have wrestling when I started high school. So as a freshman, I was not even able to wrestle in high school.
Oh, my gosh.
They put in, it was kind of an interesting story. I kind of joke with people about this. My high school coach, Ted Kozicki was his name, had never even seen a wrestling match when he was hired as the head coach. And I didn't appreciate it at all what he did at that time, probably as a kid. But since then, I've reached out to him and thanked him greatly for stepping up and basically being a sponsor for so that me and many other kids, several other kids from our high school, little bitty 1A school, could actually participate in wrestling. Because had we not done that, I was, our family was going to send me into El Dorado or some other local high school so I could have the opportunity to wrestle. So I only wrestled 3 years in high school, finished 2nd in the state 2 years in a row, and then went to Oklahoma State University straight out of high school. Spent a year down there getting my butt kicked by John Smith and Mark Perry Sr., among many other. And it was an Olympic year, 1984. So our wrestling room was pretty packed with world talent, and I had no idea what I was surrounded with at that particular time. For example, John Smith was a true freshman, same age as I was. Kenny Monday was a senior. Mike Sheets was a senior. Ricky Stewart was a grad assistant. A guy by the name of Bruce Baumgartner was a graduate assistant as well. Leroy Smith was a graduate assistant. I mean, the list goes on and on. So, and I got the last year with Coach Cheswell and the first year with Coach Say. So I was exposed to a great deal of talent at that particular time that I didn't really know about. I mean, I didn't really know what I was surrounded with. Then I got married that summer, had a child, laid out of college the next year, and worked construction in Wichita. Didn't think I was going to go back to college, but my brother was actually recruited out of high school in 1985 to Fort Hays State, and I actually took him up on a recruiting visit. And at that time, Coach Peterson told me that I had 4 years of eligibility left for NAIA. So I jumped at the chance, sold our little house that we had, and off to Hays for 4 years of wrestling. And so had I not made that decision to go back to college, you know, I probably wouldn't be a coach right now. And so I use that story to kind of influence a lot of my athletes, how one decision in your life can change everything. So that's kind of a little bit about my history.
Yeah, that's really a fascinating story. And man, you're right. What you were exposed to at Oklahoma State, I imagine that influences you to this day. And you know, and you probably didn't even realize it at that time. But and then just the way you kind of backdoored your way into college and the success you had, it really is quite a story. And you know, maybe one of the takeaways is for us as coaches not to give up on a kid. You never know what's going to manifest itself. So that really is quite a story.
Yeah, it's kind of a unique and right now, and you might know, fast forward 30 years, three of my own sons became state champions while I got to coach them to state titles. And then a foster kid, Darius Shields, this last year became a state champion. So at our family gathering, and my brother was a state 3-2-1A state champion, but I was never a high school state champion. So the joke around our family get togethers is, Dad, you're the only one that's not won a state title.
that is good. That's awesome. So you've coached, you know, at the middle school level, football, girls tennis, at the high school level. What other experiences have you had with sports, either participating or coaching? And what's your philosophy on multi-sport participation with your role as head wrestling coach at Norton High?
Well, you know, Norton is a smaller school. We have less than 200 high school kids, and that's 9 through 12. So we have to rely on multiple sport athletes. And, you know, that's really not the trend here nationwide and in the state of Kansas that kids participate in a lot of things. And I think there's a lot of reasons for that, but probably the biggest reason is parents and kids just don't want to be average what they participate in. They want to be great. And I think us coaches are to blame a little bit because of that, because we want to, you hear so many times that we're preparing these kids for the next level for college, to get a college scholarship. But you really, I don't go that route. I don't want that to be the main focus. If they want to wrestle in at the next level, then that's great. They're going to have to pursue that on their own, because I know how much dedication and time and effort it takes to be a college level athlete. And really, only a very few are going to do that. So I tend to focus more on when it's a football season. I don't even talk to my wrestlers. I wait till they're completely done. Like this last school year, we are very fortunate. Our football team played in the state football championships. So we started wrestling like a week late, and I didn't have any of those athletes that were out for football go to the very first tournament. I just thought in the long run, it's you know, success breeds other success. So I want to cheer them on and do the best they possibly can. And I'll start wrestling season, of course, you know. What happens in December is not the most important thing. It's what happens in February, at the end of February, that is our ultimate goal. So I want to push kids to get involved with everything, even after our wrestling season is over, track and field, golf, whatever. Just, you know, to do other sports is highly important to me.
Well, you know, I like the catchphrase, success breeds success. And also the way that you didn't just kind of state your philosophy, but actually backed it up with practical things that happen in your world. Another thing you said is fascinating to me. I was talking with a coach, a highly successful coach at a clinic or somewhere one time, and asking him about the number of successful athletes he's had that have gone on to college and seen success or had success in Fargo and that kind of thing. And it was a really kind of eye-opening to me to hear this coach that has, you know, not quite as many state titles as you, but multiple state title coach, had like two kids that actually went on and were all Americans in college or did well at Fargo and that sort of thing. Do you see the same type of thing in your, you know, storied success you had? How many kids have you had that have gone on to success at the college level?
It's actually very few, to be honest with you. If you're talking all Americans at Fargo or junior, at the college level, I could probably count on one hand the number of kids that have that done that. Now, I've had a lot more than that that have gone on and reaped the rewards of just being part of a college program, which I think is sometimes overlooked as well, and is kind of important to, you know, there's many articles, I'm sure you've heard them, about wrestlers make the best employees because we're tough and we're on time and we can do a lot of, you know, all the things that happen with wrestlers to make weight and to overcome adversity, I think make them some very great employees, whether no matter what profession they go into. So, yeah, I think the rewards of participation are great, but like only a few can be the elite level. I mean, I've had the pleasure of coaching a Jeff Boyle back in the 1990s, late 1990s, who in his first attempt at Fargo ends up being in the national finals in Greco. And then, you know, I've encouraged a lot of my wrestlers from about 89 to about 2003. I served as either a coach or a team leader for USA Kansas and went to Fargo all those years. So I definitely have been surrounded by that and been exposed to it and know the benefits and of that. But we've had some other wrestlers like a James Annan who didn't do any freestyle or Greco, who went on to be an All-American at Fort Hays State University. And then a Tug Kieswetter, who was a national champion at Pratt Community College, and actually – the story behind that is he was done with wrestling. He just wanted to get into lineman school and become a lineman. And they didn't have any openings for him. And he said, well, I guess I'll have to go somewhere else. And they said, well, if you wanted to wrestle, we can possibly squeeze you in. And so he decided to wrestle. And first year, I think he was fifth in the nation. In the second year at Pratt Community College, he was a national champion. So I think we have the talent. It's just, and Norton traditionally, even all the way back in the Jake Durham era, the kids were so highly successful at the high school level. I just think that they've reached a lot of their goals and may not want to strive to do more in college. Unlike myself, who I was very upset by placing second in the state 2 years in a row, and Coach Peterson used that to entice me to go on and try to prove something at the college level. And so when I was able to achieve more in college, it was very rewarding because I had something to look forward to. If you've already been a multiple-time state champion at the 3-2-1A level, you know, sometimes you think, well, I've achieved all I wanted to achieve. So I guess that's a long roundabout, very very long version of what to answer your question. I'm sorry about that.
No, I think there's some really fascinating subtopics in there that would be worth, you know, a whole other podcast. You know, a lot of really good food for thought there. And I would say also, you know, you talk about wrestlers being the best employees. You hear that. You know, you spoke to the kids that maybe wrestle but aren't as accomplished. And I'd like to see a study of how many wrestlers actually use all 4 years of their eligibility in college. I think that's a whole other topic too, that it's a tough grind with school and athletics. And so anyway, no, that was really a great conversation there. So, so at this point, I'd probably start asking you questions, you know, with your long career to kind of reminisce and talk about some individuals. You know, you mentioned Jeff Boyle, for example, or maybe some years that you weren't expected to win it as a team and did. But instead, I want to go a little bit different route. You mentioned Darius Shields when you were talking about your family here. A while back, uh-huh, I had Cade Lout on the program from St. James Academy. And in the 220-pound state finals in 5A this year, Park City, Kyle Haas and and Cade did battle, and there were two top five rated guys in the nation wrestling for a state title. And just to be in the stands as a spectator, let alone a coach, it was just one of those things that I'm going to remember for a long time and be able to tell people I was there to see that, especially if those guys go on and have successful college careers. And I say this because one thing that I mentioned, and here's a whole nother topic, but you know, Kansas is kind of fractured with four classes and three different locations for their state tournament on the same weekend. You have some diehard wrestling fans that are missing out on some really good wrestling and really good stories within, you know, the tournaments. So that brings me to Darius Shields. Now I being a 5A coach and, you know, on the other side of the state, don't hear all the stories. And when you were kind of retelling the story behind Darius and the state title at one of the board meetings last spring, it really gave me goosebumps. And I think it's a story that maybe not everybody's familiar with. But take us back to the spring of 2019. You guys just finished top four, I believe. It finished maybe fourth in state. And there's a couple tragedies happened that spring. And it kind of take us through that point all the way to the 2020 state title. I just think that there's some, a lot of sub-stories that aren't necessarily wrestling-specific, but are worth knowing about. So if you could kind of take us back to the spring of 2019 and take us through this last spring.
Okay, well, how much time we got?
Yeah, really.
Because well, it's a long story, but I think it's one worth telling.
And I do too. You know, I would tell you to give us the Cliff Notes version, but I think once you start talking, people are going to understand that it's worth listening to.
Okay, so I'm just doing normal coaching stuff, like always, trying to mentor kids each and every year. You always have kids that are on the edge, you know, rough kids or kids that are just straight A students and will run through a wall and, you know, do whatever they're told. And I have, you know, a vast majority, all different types here in Norton as well. We had Darius Shields, and I'll just kind of single these two kids out. Darius Shields, great kid, 106-pound varsity wrestler his freshman year. And places, I think, fifth in the state his first year ever, which was a huge accomplishment for him. And then another kid that hit, one of his workout partners, his name was Thunder Lanier. Thunder had never wrestled before, never, ever before. So he was very green, but he was one of those guys that just wanted to go like 100 miles an hour. And he was really into farming more than he was wrestling. He would show up at wrestling practice in his muck boots quite often, 5 minutes late, handed me a note that said, "Coach, sorry I'm late, but the cows got out and I had to put them back in after school." So that's the type of kids that we deal with. So we go through the season getting ready for our wrestling banquet. This is April 9th, 2019, a day that will live in infamy, that I get a call at 5 o'clock. Our wrestling banquet starts at 6 o'clock. I'm already dressed in my wrestling attire to go to our wrestling banquet. And we have a really nice big banquet, give out a lot of awards and things like that, which many coaches do. But I get a call from the Norton Police Department. And the officer simply says, "Coach Johnson, just wanted to let you know that we found Lori Fields deceased in her home." And it just hit me like you wouldn't believe. And he proceeded to tell me that they had Darius at the police station and if I could come down and be with him. I said, "Sure, absolutely." So after I just sat and couldn't believe what I just heard, I went and hugged my wife, tried to get myself composed, and then head to the police station literally 1 hour before a wrestling banquet is supposed to begin. And found Darius, we talked for a long period of time, of course. And then probably one of the toughest things I ever do and have ever done in my life is go back to the wrestling banquet, stand in front of my wrestling families, and break the news to them and basically say, I don't know what to do. So I called all the senior parents up and said, here's the situation. I don't know what to do. I've never been in this situation. We got all these people gathered here, but I don't feel like celebrating our banquet. And so I used them to kind of gauge things off of, and you could hear a pin drop in that room, you know, and we have it in a nice big lobby with food and catered in and everything. So we handed out a couple quick awards, like the outstanding wrestler, the most improved wrestler at the varsity and JV level. And then we got out of there. And one kid that received an award that night, for the most improved JV wrestler was a kid by the name of Thunder Lanier. There wasn't a dry eye in the whole wrestling banquet that night. And what was supposed to be a wrestling banquet basically, and I feel confident I can say this, it basically turned into a prayer vigil for Darius and his family. Because at that immediate time, that's one member of our family was hurting greatly, and there was nothing really we could do about it. So Darius, while I had to go back to the banquet for a short amount of time, Darius went with another individual who I said, now if you could bring him up to the wrestling banquet right at the end, you know, the police to turn him over to me for 72 hours in temporary custody. And if I hadn't have stepped up for that, he probably would have been sent somewhere else to go into the foster care system somewhere outside of Norton, Kansas. So we stepped up and said, sure, he can stay with us, no problem. But Darius actually made it to the banquet right at the very end. And it was almost like, I mean, if you saw pictures of him hugging his teammates after winning a state title this last year in 2020, that's basically what it was at that particular time, too, as he was surrounded by his teammates. They supported him. One of the seniors actually came to me and said, Coach, can you get out of basketball and let's go into the gym? Because we were in the lobby of our gymnasium. And he asked if we could go play basketball with Darius to take his mind off of it. So we opened up. I threw a ball out there and they went in there and started playing basketball for a while and worked up a sweat. And then I took Darius home with me that night. So he was in my custody. He stayed with me all day. That was a Sunday, all day Monday. Actually, he stayed with me all day. Yeah, Monday. And we needed to get out of the house. So I sent out a text caster to all my group for wrestlers. And I said, hey, Darius and I are going to go down to the pool park. Anybody want to come down and play basketball? We're going to be there for a little while. He needs to get out of the house. And on a drop of a hat, about 10 of other wrestlers showed up at the pool park to just play basketball with him. And one kid that showed up at that basketball was a kid by the name of Thunder Lanier. And Thunder showed up in his muck boots because he had just been at the farm. He had been feeding cattle. And so we came down there for a while, for about an hour or so, and then we all left. Overnight, the next morning, I woke up to the bad news that Thunder Lanier had been killed in a farming accident that night. Mm-hmm. And to try and to wake up our team, we had canceled school on Monday because Darius's mom is a secretary at the grade school. So, and she had influenced a lot of different people in our school all the way up to the high school level because she'd worked in the school system that for quite a while. So we canceled school for her on that Monday. So this is the Tuesday morning. We wake up to another tragedy. we go ahead and have school, but we have a lot of counseling going on. A lot of counselors are called in. I have to, you know, tell my team, our team meets that morning. I share the news with them, and it was just like, we have, you know, full grown kids crying like babies, because we can make one tragedy is bad enough and horrible, but to have another one, bam, right on the very next day is almost too much to handle. So that was basically the spring, April 9th, 10th, 11th of 2019. And that was followed by many different prayer vigils in our community at the Rock Youth Center, where a lot of these kids hang out, which was overfilled with to capacity for just the caring and the support that Darius and Thunder received. It was amazing over the past year. So we are literally, you know, this past April was the 1 year anniversary of that. Unfortunately, we weren't in school because of the COVID situation, which is a whole other wrinkle on top of all of this. But, you know, it just seems like our world has spiraled out of control here since April 9th, 2019. But working together, I think we can all get through this. So that was that year. Then we fast forward to this wrestling season. We don't really try to make a big deal out of any of it, because it was kind of my decision to try to keep it as, you know, on the downside. But when Darius ends up winning a state title over a kid that actually pinned him in the regional finals, the week right before this, it is such emotion that was amazing. And almost everybody in the Coliseum at Fort Hays State University, I still get chills when people come up to me and say, yeah, I watched that. I was pulling for you. It's a storybook ending to a season, because I reminded this team at our wrestling banquet, which we just had in June because of COVID, I reminded them, this is the same team that took 20th place in the Newton Tournament of Champions, and that we took 20th. And we were behind Hoxie all year long, but somehow you could almost feel what was happening that weekend in the Coliseum. I think we pretty much led from the beginning of the tournament to the end of the tournament, which was an amazing accomplishment for these kids.
And you know, the state tournament specifically, like point-wise though, even though you led from beginning to end, if I remember right, wasn't Hoxie within about 7 or 8 points of you, to where Darius's points really would have made a difference if it was the result from the week before?
Yes, it would definitely. They started the finals at 1:30 or 1:45, so we ended at 1:38, I think it was. So actually, our senior Cole Amlong, who was in the state finals, got to go first, and that was very nice because he was the only experienced one. We had 3 in the finals, and Hoxie had 3 in the finals. All of us won. I mean, that was what's nice about it. I wanted Hoxie to win all theirs, because I knew if we won all of ours, you know, we would come away with a title. But, you know, I've been in this game long enough, and God has blessed me with more honors and state titles than I definitely deserve. So there was definitely no pressure on this team. And that's what we talked about all year, is there is no pressure on you. You have nobody expects Norton, Kansas to win a state title this year. So just go out and wrestle to the best of your ability. And on top of that, we have, you know, the other state champion. We have 3 state champions in addition to Amlong Shields, a guy by the name of Colton Field, who was on our team last year as Darius's main workout partner. But he got in trouble last year, and I had to remove him from the team as a freshman. So fast forward, all of this chemistry that you're seeing goes in, and a kid that I had to kick off the team the year before, now ends up winning a state title. I mean, it's just, you can't even write that out, I don't think, if you tried.
You really can't. And that's, I guess, what I'm talking about as far as people, I think a lot of 5A, 6A, 4As really missed out on this drama and this whole story. I mean, this is a movie.
That's the bad part. It is definitely a story, but a lot of TVs picked up on it, and Darius was still winning some inspirational awards even just this summer that we noticed. So, you know, it's we've been blessed, but it is not. I mean, it would, in my younger days, when the Fort Hays State University Coliseum was packed with all 3-2-1A teams. I mean, it was a great atmosphere, but with the advent of streaming, and this is only my opinion, but with the advent of streaming it and all the, I mean, you can sit and watch every single round of the 3-2-1A state tournament on PBS and Next Tech, except for the very first round, I guess. From the quarterfinals on, you can watch every single round. And we don't get near the people in the stands that we used to.
Update us on Darius as much as you can. I mean, is he still living with you? Do you have custody? How does that all working? Because he would be a rising junior, is that right? Or rising senior?
Yep.
Rising junior, okay.
He's going to be a junior, yeah. He is still, I just got through eating lunch with him, actually, and barely made this call. So, yep, he's still in our house, living with us. He has two sisters that are in Kentucky. Unfortunately, the family was split up, had to be split up. We didn't feel that we had the room for three children in our house. So I act as, quote unquote, his foster parent. My wife and I had to go through all the foster care system and get certified and everything like that. Although I remind him, I don't really want to be a foster parent. I want to be an influential person in his life. I want to guide and direct him. And before his mom passed away at her memorial service here, I had reiterated the words I told her when he was a freshman, is that, Lori, if you trust me and you give me your child, I promise you I will turn him into a state champion. And so I didn't know it was going to be that fast that he was able to win a state title. But then at her memorial service, I had to change that into, now that he's a state champion, I promised you I was going to turn him into a state champion, but now I guess God has wanted me to turn him into a man. And so I try my best. I've raised three boys prior to this and one girl, so this isn't my first rodeo. I kind of know the successes and the agony of raising teenagers, as you might say. So I have to share that with him from time to time, because he thinks that I'm the only, this is my first go around, you know, and teenagers are going to be teenagers. So, we've actually, taking his driving test and getting ready to do that scary step too, as well. So, cause he's very young for his class, but I'm just, you know, my wife and I are, as I tell our community, we are just the vessel, and many, 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 other people in our community have provided, clothes and food. And I went back and reread some of my notes. I'm a note taker. So I wake up early in the morning, 5:30, 6 in the morning, and I write in a journal. And I went back, and the month of April of 2019, I don't think our family made a single evening meal. A meal was provided for us by a lot of different groups in our community. The American Legion Riders made several trips to go purchase clothes for the family, not only Darius, but the two girls. I mean, it's just been ongoing, one thing after another. So I'm fortunate that we have a community like this. It's a small community, but it is sometimes those are the ones that can reach out the most, you might say. And I don't mean to to bash bigger communities because you have more resources and you can do the same things. But it seems like at times in the bigger communities, you're not exactly as close to your neighbors as maybe in here where you have grown up your whole life with them.
Sure, sure.
So that's kind of the ride that I've been on in over a year plus in my journey as a wrestling coach in the late stages of my career. So that's pretty amazing that God has blessed me like that.
Yeah, well, I appreciate your willingness to share, such a personal story and something that's so much bigger than sport too. So I appreciate that, and I'm hoping our listeners will appreciate it as well.
Yeah, so we didn't really talk about wrestling.
Yeah.
I spoke with the Lions Club here just about 3 weeks ago, and then they finally opened up so that after COVID that they could actually have meetings and have speakers again. I was scheduled to speak right after the wrestling season. Of course, that didn't happen. So this same similar story, as I said, I'm really going to just share with you kind of our philosophy and what we do and this season and how it was so amazing. And if you've seen pictures, and I don't know if the pictures made it into the Capital Journal and things like that, but the emotion on my face when Darius won a state title I was bawling like a baby. I mean, literally, and I'm confident that I can say that because even more so than any of my own children, because I know what that kid went through to overcome that. And so did everybody on our team, everyone that knew the story. Even Jordan Burroughs called Darius personally this summer and shared with him a little a story about thanking him for hanging in there and working through adversity and winning a state title not only for himself but for their entire for our team. So he was really shocked when he got that video. Well, actually, Jordan Burroughs record a video and send it to him. So
wow,
it was pretty, cool. Pretty amazing.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's neat. Well, I mean, too many state trophies to count, 11 championships, multiple individual accolades. What is the essence that keeps you going and keeps you motivated to put out top tier teams year after year?
Well, each year I go into it thinking, oh, this is going to be my last year. To be quite honest with you, my son Ryan, who was a state champion in 2017, graduated in 2018. I thought that he would be my last year of coaching, to be quite honest with you, but I guess other people had other plans, and I guess I don't do it for myself anymore. I used to covet those awards and trophies, and I wanted to, I would go to the wrestling coaches, the KWCA banquet every year and just idolize, everything that these people that were honored as coaches of the year and want to be that. I mean, I really don't feel that way anymore. I'm just trying to help kids. And that's one reason why I started back coaching girls tennis again. People, when I tell people that, they think, what in the world, a wrestling coach coaching girls tennis? And I did that from 91 until about 2003. And then I got out of it until last year in 2019 was my first year coaching girls tennis again, but they couldn't find a coach. So I stepped up and decided that, I would do it again. And I enjoy it. I mean, I enjoy just being around kids. They keep you young, I guess, is one way to say it. But also to make them understand that sports is not the end all be all, especially with our wrestlers. I'll say, I bet you I can't even list every state champion just in 2020 in 3-2-1A. So quit worrying so much about it. Just go out there and perform, because I know when I was in high school, that is the main reason that I did not win state titles. is that I went out there and was worried just about winning. I wasn't worried about scoring points. And both times I rested, I intentionally rested, put my head on the mat, and I got cradled by a Western Kansas kid both times, two different kids, and they turned me for 3 points. I was ahead 2-0 both times, and I decided that I would rest. Well, I think God did that to me so that I could be a better coach today, that he made me realize that, hey, you can't quit worrying about winning and losing and just go out and try to score points. And that's what we talk about, is just scoring points. When you're on your feet, score a takedown. When you're on bottom, get up and out of there quickly. When you're on top, turn them. I mean, it's really a simple game. It really is.
Huh. Yeah, secret is there's no secret, huh?
There is no secret. Just go out and wrestle, because no one's going to remember 10 years from now anyway. They'll have to look it up. That's why Mitch Bynes' site is so popular.
Yeah, absolutely.
We can look up all the state champions and who placed where and when and how.
Yeah, that's definitely a plug for that. I mean, I've spent hours on that site for sure. So, Mitch, thank you.
Yeah. He just called me the other day and wanted to clear up a mistake that was on it. So he's working on it nonstop all the time. It goes through his mind all the time. So thanks a lot for that, Mitch.
Absolutely. Well, in addition to being invested in the Norton program, you're also an advocate for the sport itself. What do you see as the most critical areas to keep the sport of wrestling thriving?
Well, I think one of the areas that sometimes we don't tout near as much as we should is that anybody can wrestle. I'm sure your age group or our age group, we remember the poster of Bruce Baumgartner and
Tim
Vanney.
Absolutely.
Anybody, meaning B-O-D-Y, anybody, so big bodies and small bodies are treated equal. What other sport that has contact actually treats everyone equal? I mean, there is a huge advantage to being large in football. There's a huge advantage to being tall in basketball. And so wrestling, I think one of the things that we don't tell the public enough is, hey, wrestling is for the 98-pound weakling as well as the 275-pound, 85-pound, large guy. So, and another thing is it teaches so much discipline. It teaches discipline and it teaches sportsmanship like no other sport. How many other sports, after you get your butt kicked, sometimes in almost like a fight-like atmosphere, do you have to stand in the middle of the mat and shake the other person's hand? That is what is huge for wrestling, and we should tell everybody about that, because too many times, and I've done it with my own children, as a parent, we try to, protect them. We try to make sure that they aren't, their feelings aren't hurt, and they don't deal with losing very well. I mean, I have three grandchildren, and when they all three get together and have to share toys, they don't do well when you tell them. So I think wrestling is a big part of that, and so it's for everybody. And one of the things is the motivation, the discipline, and the sportsmanship are second to none, and that's what I really like about wrestling. Plus, if you want it, individually, you can be the best that you can be. You mainly need one other workout partner, and that's why in so many teams, and I know you've seen it, and it's held true in every team that I've coached, is you see one really good kid on one team, someone around their weight class is usually pretty good too. They may not be as good, but they're going to have clusters of kids that are really good. So you can work harder than what the coach tells you, and individual initiative is going to get you to where you want to go.
All right. Well said on that. So before we sign off, we all hope for a return to some sense of normalcy for the 2020-21 season. Assuming we will have a normal or near normal season, what is the outlook for the upcoming season for the Norton wrestling team?
Well, I know that people accuse me of lying, about this, but we graduated seven seniors on a team that we only had 21 wrestlers this last year is what we ended up with. So it's going to be hard to replace seven seniors on this squad. However, we do return two state champions in Darius Shields and Colton Field, and a state qualifier in Gavin Sproul. So I think that we'll be competitive, dual meet competition, and I hope that we can have a full season. Everyone's talking about possibly ways to shorten the season and maybe do only duels and things like that, as we are seeing from volleyball is they're limited to no more than teams of four. So I don't know if that's going to happen in wrestling. I mean, we only time will tell. The only thing that we know for certain that's going to happen is there's going to be changes throughout the school year. That's what is the only certainty we can have. So we're going to be down. We'll probably be down in numbers as well as overall talent, but that just opens the door for someone else to step up, like a Colton Field, who nobody knew about on the radar all year. He placed fourth at the regional tournament and ended up being a state champion. So, you know, we're just going to go do the best we can do and call it good.
We've been visiting with 2020 KWCA 321A Coach of the Year, Billy Johnson of Norton. Coach, thanks for the time.
You betcha.
This has been Patrick Kelly with the KWCA Podcast. Until next time, thanks for listening.